The year 2023 brought a new age of designer drugs.
You will need to stay on these medicines for a long period of time to keep that weight off.
This hour, we explore the off-label use of diabetes drugs for weight loss. Dieting by Design, hosted by Dave Noriega and Debbie Dujanovic on KSL News Radio.
You've probably heard of some of these new weight loss drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. Sometimes they're taking them to deal with their diabetes, others for weight loss.
We'll spend the next hour learning lots about these three newer drugs. But first, let's start with Nick. He lives in Utah, and he's on Ozempic. He started taking it to get his type 2 diabetes under control, and then something else happened.
My doctor recommended Ozempic. And he recommended it for weight loss and diabetes, which I've kind of beat now. I don't really have much diabetes left. I have just a little, he says. My A1C is way, way down. So the Ozempic is something that I really enjoyed being on for the first little while.
Do you credit the Ozempic to beating your diabetes?
That and the weight loss, yes, because I've been on metformin and Jardiance, and it seemed like Ozempic was working better than both of the other two.
So what type of diabetes did you have, and how long have you struggled with it?
I had type 2, which I guess is the most common. And I had it, I gained some weight when I retired. And so I wasn't as active. And he was concerned because I'm only in my 60s. And he said, we need to get this, you know, we need to take care of this. And I said, okay, and what do you want to do? So he put me on metformin, didn't really take care of it. He put me on Jardiance, and that did a little. But when he put me on the Ozempic, I started losing weight, and everything came down.
How much weight did you lose, and how quickly did it happen?
I lost 20 pounds in about 3 months. It didn't seem like I was losing it at first, but then all of a sudden my clothes were loose. I had to buy new clothes.
So this wasn't happening overnight. Like, you weren't shedding pounds after just a few days. This was more of a gradual and steady loss.
Yes, it was. But there were side effects. And I still have them. You get a very bad stomach ache. That's pretty common, I've been told. And in the morning, when I eat breakfast, I'm nauseated for the first hour after I eat.
Do you have to alter your diet to be on Ozempic?
You know, I did not. I was starting a regimen where I was eating less, and doing that, I was having like one egg, one cup of coffee, some fruit, and that was it in the morning, and then a salad or fruit in the afternoon, and then some protein like a hamburger or a pork chop or a piece of chicken, but only one, and then a vegetable.
How much do you attribute to the Ozempic, and how much do you attribute to just, sounds like you were on a pretty smart diet?
Well, I think the Ozempic accelerated my weight loss. I really do. Because I can walk, I can do a lot of things and still not lose a lot of weight. But when I'm on Ozempic like I am now, it seems that I lose weight easier. And
Nick, does it curb your appetite? Is that why you only eat one piece of chicken or one pork chop?
Yes, it does curb my appetite quite a bit.
Are you still losing weight?
Yes. I've lost about 3 pounds in the last maybe week and a half.
So all in all, you're about up to 20 pounds. Is that what you said?
That's what I've lost, yes. I thought that was good because I was over 250, and I'm no longer there, and I feel a lot better.
How would you describe your energy levels? Oftentimes when we change our diets or take medications, that can be one of the first things to go is energy levels. How would you describe yours?
Just like you said, it goes. I'm not as motivated to go out and work in the yard because I get tired. I don't have the motivation to do the things that I used to do. I get about, I think, about 900 calories a day, I think, is what we calculated it at.
900 calories a day does not sound like enough.
I have a stomach ache pretty much all the time from the Ozempic, And if I eat any more than that, I really get nauseated.
Okay, so you've noticed that there's a direct correlation. As much food as you eat, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, and I told my doctor that. He knows that I do get nauseated, and he knows what I eat. And he's noticed that I have lost weight, but he hasn't really said I need to be off of it yet.
How often do you take it?
Once a week. I take it every Monday.
Is it an injection?
Yes. Yes, I have the injection type.
What has your doctor said about how your weight will be once you go off of it?
He said it could fluctuate, and I do ask questions about how am I going to do after, and he said it all depends on me, what I eat, how much exercise I get, what I do. The Ozempic, I believe, has really helped me with my diabetes and losing weight, but my problem is the nausea and the stomach ache. I would love those to go away. It wakes me up at night, to tell you the truth. Some nights I wake up at 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh, how do I get rid of this?
Up next, we talk to a doctor that is an expert in this, and he'll lay out the pros and the cons.
You're listening to two of KSL's most listened to talk show hosts, Dave Noriega and Debbie Dujanovic. Catch their shrewd insights about the news Monday morning at 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking about newer drugs, Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy. In some cases, people are using them to treat diabetes. In other cases, they're using it for weight loss.
Yeah, we just spoke to a man that was using it for diabetes, but he also lost a lot of weight. Now we'll talk to the doctor, not his doctor, but a doctor that prescribes these medications.
Dr. Christopher Jones is the medical director for Intermountain Healthcare Diabetes Program.
Dr. Jones, thanks for joining us. We're talking about weight loss, and I think the hottest thing I've heard right now, it's like so in right now, is weight loss drugs. But we don't know a lot about them. So can you walk us through? I hear these words, Wegovy or Ozempic. What are they and what do they mean?
Absolutely. I'm glad you'd have me here today. We have known about the medications that are being talked about for quite some time, over a decade. But just recently, they've gotten more and more attention for weight loss itself. These medications, like the Ozempic that you mentioned and some others, are really for type 2 diabetes initially. As we've understood them further, we understand that they have really powerful weight loss properties. And so Wegovy actually is the same thing as Ozempic, only it was studied for weight loss. And in the medical world, it's important to know what it was studied for, because that's what it's indicated for. And so the same type of a chemical, maybe a little different dose, has those two different indications, one for diabetes, one for weight loss.
So doctor, talk to us first about what it does for people who are diabetic.
Yes, these medications are powerful in changing both the functionality of the gut, which would be the stomach and the intestines, and also the brain. And so its impact on the gut frequently is to slow the gut down and to make it so that you feel full more quickly. Most people eat quite a bit less. The functionality on the brain is what we call satiety, or in other words, it tells your brain that you're not hungry. You don't need to eat so much. That, of course, is a simplification. There's a lot of other things it does, but you can see how those two features would lead people to losing weight. What we find for diabetes is because it slows the gut down, that the sugar is not absorbed nearly as quickly, the spikes of sugar in the bloodstream are not so high, and it's easier, much easier, for the body to take care of this slow infusion of sugar rather than a high, quick spike. Thus, the blood sugar comes down in people who have diabetes.
Does it cure their diabetes?
These medications do not cure diabetes for most people. We do know that weight loss is a great avenue to curing early type 2 diabetes. And so there are some who might say, hey, this cured my diabetes, and that would be wonderful, generally as a measure of significant weight loss.
What would be considered significant weight loss?
We like to measure weight loss in terms of percent of what you start at. So if someone starts at a certain amount of weight and they lose 3% or 5%, that's significant. In fact, 5%, if you just go on a nice diet or try to eat healthy, is really a great victory. The medications that we've used for weight loss up until this particular class of medicines that we're talking about, which is the GLP-1 medications. Those have had success on the terms of 5%, 7%, things like that, better than just diet alone, and we were happy. These medications now, GLP-1, are getting into the 10, 15, 18, even 20 and 21% weight loss, 4-5 times what most people do with diet alone.
And how quickly do people start seeing those types of weight loss results?
These can happen. Probably weeks would be a little bit hopeful, but certainly within a month or a few months, significant weight loss is seen by a lot of people.
How long does it last? Do I have to stay on this medicine forever, or is it just a limited amount of time?
We have 2 clinical studies that have tried to say, okay, now that you've lost the weight, let's stop the medicine, have you try and still be a healthy person and see what happens. And in both of those studies, weight gain did happen, quite a bit of weight gain, in fact, enough that we think that the answer to the question is you will need to stay on these medicines for a long period of time to keep that weight off.
We talked to a man who's in his 60s who started on Ozempic not too long ago for his type 2 diabetes. And he told us that his type 2 diabetes is under control, that he'd also lost 20 pounds. It sounds to me we wouldn't be quite sure yet if it was the drug or the weight loss that helped him get his diabetes under control.
I would say that we've been able to parse out that there is a glucose lowering or a sugar lowering even without the weight loss. And so there is benefit to the sugar directly. What we think we've seen, and again, every individual is different, that as the sugar comes down and the weight loss happens, the insulin resistance comes down and the need for all the other medications seems to reduce.
What kind of weight are we looking at? Because I know you can lose weight just water weight or fat weight or muscle weight. What are you seeing when the pounds start dropping off with one of these drugs?
These drugs do reduce weight that's not just water weight. Water weight is one of those classic fad diets where I lost 10 pounds in the first 5 days and is not consistent and has no health benefits. The weight that we're seeing from this does have health benefits. However, when the weight loss comes off with a GLP-1, it is both fat weight and also muscle weight. It is one of the criticisms of these drugs is that a lot of people are losing lean muscle, and that's not healthy, particularly if we're using it in older people. It has a potential, not proven, but potential to increase fall risk or other such things when people lose muscle weight.
What are the side effects that people are reporting?
Many people have heard of my stomach became paralyzed or frozen stomach. When these medicines work so powerfully on the gut that it actually freezes it, or in other words, stops it from functioning appropriately, there can be significant side effects. One of those that's real mild is just constipation, right? My gut slowed down and I have constipation. But to take into more extreme, we have seen people who have now dysfunction and they're not able to eat appropriately. They have the bloating and the other symptoms where their gut really has become almost as if it has a new disease. This is uncommon, but the fact that it happens at all, and some of these persons, as we removed the medication, the gut didn't recover very quickly, at least. There are other side effects, and those are still being talked about with great observation by the medical community. One of those would be pancreatitis or pancreas inflammation. One would be cholelithiasis or gallbladder inflammation and gallbladder disease. We don't have enough evidence to say that these are going to happen in this number of persons or that number of persons, but it's something we're monitoring because we think it might be a little bit increased in other persons as well.
Doctor, are you aware of any long-term side effects?
There are some that are being discussed, but none that have been indicated for certain. There are others that are kind of scary that happened in preliminary studies, particularly in animals, regarding thyroid that don't seem to be happening in humans. So we anticipate that some small percentage will surprise us with something that will come up. But currently, I would say that we don't have big red flags or big warnings of long-term or permanent harm.
Some of the side effects, when we talked to this gentleman, is he was only consuming 900 calories a day. And that sounds like such a small amount of food. And we asked him about his energy levels. And Dave, I think he told us he wasn't as energetic as he's used to being. Is that one of the side effects, is low energy and being able to, you know, not count past 1,000 calories a day?
I would say for some, yes. There's one called Manjaro that is also, or even more profound in its weight loss. And again, it's not indicated for weight loss by the FDA, but when we use it, we watch that. And on this particular medicine, I've had a number of people say, you know what, doctor, I just forget to eat. I have to set an alarm to remember to eat, or I might go to bed without having food that day. Now, that is not the common, but to have that happen for a single individual is remarkable. There are definitely people who now have to really rethink, how am I eating and what am I doing with my, you know, lack of hunger? And we do definitely encourage people who get on these medications that they need to eat healthy foods. You're not going to eat very many foods, so let's eat the healthy ones with vitamins and minerals and all of those kinds of things. Drink plenty of water. We need to remain healthy and not just focus so solely on the weight loss.
As I hear you describe the medicine and how it works, it also sounds like you're not going to just have an easy go of it. You've got to change the way you eat. You have to eat healthy.
Yes, that's very true. And I love every single diabetes medication because it comes with the approval that says, in addition to a healthy diet and regular exercise, this medicine can help you with your diabetes. And it's absolutely the foundation for all diabetes care, that it begins with healthy behaviors, good food choices. We always recommend people be knowledgeable about the food that they're eating and choose those healthy plant-based diets, and then regular exercise. And if it's not founded in that, there is a potential for trouble from all of these medications.
Next, let's talk about how much this is going to cost if you don't have insurance.
The year 2023 brought a new age of designer drugs.
You will need to stay on these medicines for a long period of time to keep that weight off.
This hour, we explore the off-label use of diabetes drugs for weight loss. Dieting by Design, hosted by Dave Noriega and Debbie Dujanovic on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. We're speaking now to Dr. Christopher Jones of Intermountain Healthcare about Wegovy, Ozempic, and Mounjaro, the newer designer drugs, if you will, that people are using for weight loss. And we asked him a question. How much is this going to cost, especially if you don't have insurance to cover it?
So the GLP-1 medications are a real concern for those insurance companies who are paying for medications. And it's because so many people would qualify for these medications, whether it's type 2 diabetes or weight loss or other indications, that the insurance companies are looking at a huge number of people with a very expensive medication. And that ends up concerning the insurance companies so much that they're putting a lot of restrictions on these medications. Some companies put more restrictions than others, and everyone is always waiting to see what Medicare does with these medications. And so it's always a hard thing, a hard field to navigate for patients to know, if they do need one medically, how are they going to get it? How much is it covered? Is it going to change a few months later when the formulary changes? And those are all difficult things for patients. If somebody is bold enough to choose to take this without insurance coverage, these medications are somewhere between $900 and $1,300 a month. And if you're thinking that these medications are medications you need to stay on for the rest of your life, most people don't have $12,000 a year that they have just sitting around to do this out-of-pocket cost for these medications.
I know we focused a lot on folks with diabetes, but I've also heard stories because I guess originally it was a diabetic drug, people that don't have diabetes, they're going in and trying to sweet talk their way into it or use it. Maybe not as prescribed. Can you speak to that at all?
Absolutely. It's a huge concern for the medical community. We are aware of persons who are using it, not just off-label, because honestly, sometimes doctors do things off-label of the FDA label, but use it when it's not prescribed per se. There are some groups who are getting some compounded semaglutide, or the thing that makes Ozempic, and they're finding a way to make it available to people without a typical doctor's prescription. They're having some prescription forms, so there's not directly illegal, but it is against the patent law. And so the company who makes Ozempic has sued a few people in trying to do this. Their argument is that it's not available to people and they need it.
To be more specific, are these kind of counterfeit operations, making a drug that seems similar but is not the brand name drug?
That's correct. And what we're calling them is compounded drugs. So they will come, instead of in the usual format through the usual drug manufacturer, they come in a powder, and they're sold to the patient, and the patient takes it home and mixes it with some saline and injects that. And while some of them are probably safe and okay, it definitely is an area where, because of shortages and because people are so desirous to have this, but they can't get it through usual routes. For instance, your comment of they don't have type 2 diabetes. And frankly, they're only a tiny bit overweight and probably don't need this. They probably need a healthy diet instead. And yet they want that easy, nice fix. And so they go get this, and they are incurring that risk of a compounded, non-FDA approved drug.
A lot of people are just using it for weight loss, and they're very successful at losing the weight, but they don't have diabetes. Should they be a candidate to use one of these new drugs?
Oh, we would love to see the obesity epidemic in America have a significant tool to fight against that. We believe that this particular class of medications, the GLP-1s, is a tool to fight against obesity, even without diabetes or other such diseases. And in that sense, it's really hopeful that maybe we can use these for obesity on a regular basis with a lot of people. However, there are some limitations. As you mentioned, are there some side effects that we haven't witnessed over time? The fact that these medicines have to be continued, possibly for life, to maintain that weight loss, and the ever onerous trouble of how very expensive they are. They are, in fact, so expensive that it is suggested by one source that if 10% of the Medicare population got on these medications, of all of those who were obese, then that would increase the Medicare cost by $26 billion a year. $26 billion a year cost is going to change other things, like all of our copays at minimum, but maybe how other healthcare resources are used. And now we're not able to realize that vaccinations, because there's not enough money left for vaccinations as a kind of an offhand idea. Something like that might go away if we're spending so much money on these medications. It might be interesting for you to know also that medications in this class are being studied for other things. One of the indications they already have is to prevent bad cardiovascular outcomes. So they actually are healthy for the heart. They are also being studied for liver disease to see if they're healthy for the liver. And a few are being studied for things like sleep apnea and other disease processes as well. So not only have you not heard the end of these medications with regard to obesity, but you'll be hearing more about all the other diseases that they probably will help, and how we can utilize those in the right person who gets the most benefit for the cost that these medications are.
Doctor, it sounds like to me, if I were just coming to somebody like you or another doctor, and I don't have diabetes, thankfully, you know, so I try to stay healthy and I try to keep my weight down as I get older through exercise and diet and all that other good stuff. But if I said, I just can't lose that last 10 pounds, can I take a shot of one of these medications? What would you say to me?
If I were your doctor, I would say, I appreciate all the healthy behaviors that you're doing. They're wonderful. They improve your health in so many ways that it's hard to even list all the ways that they make you healthy. And getting off those last few pounds, while satisfying for you and helping you to be who you want to be physically, are not likely going to be increasing your health. And if I can say that firmly, knowing you, right, if you were my patient, if I can say that firmly, then I would say these medications are not appropriate for you to take off those last few pounds. Continuing to focus on good health and being healthy is the most appropriate. let's continue with your diet and exercise and recognize and rejoice in the health that you have. That's what I would say.
Dr. Christopher Jones is the medical director for Intermountain Health Diabetes Program. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, doctor.
You're listening to two of KSL's most listened to talk show hosts, Dave Noriega and Debbie Dujanovic. Catch their shrewd insights about the news Monday morning at 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to Dieting by Design. As we were preparing this story, Debbie, we had the chance to have one of our co-workers and part of the KSL family, Simone Cycli, come up and said, hey, I have some experience with this.
Simone, what drug are you on of the three? We've talked about Mounjaro, we've talked about Wegovy, we've talked about Ozempic. And what has been your experience with it?
I'm taking Mounjaro. My physician recommended it to me because I had been speaking to her about gastric bypass surgery. And she wanted to try something else, something a little less extreme. So she recommended Mounjaro. She talked about her weight loss. And it took me a while to agree with her. And then I just decided, okay, I'll give it a try.
Now, we spoke earlier in this show to a man by the name of Nick. And he has type 2 diabetes. He's experienced significant weight loss as well. He feels like this Ozempic got his diabetes under control. Mm-hmm. But he's also getting pretty nasty stomach aches. What has been your experience?
My very first shot, I took it at night and thought, okay, just whatever comes will come. And I didn't feel hardly anything the next day. No change except for mentally. You hear about food noise. Gone.
Food noise.
It's constantly thinking about food. Food, 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 food. When do I eat next? Oh, am I hungry? That type of thing. It's gone. With Mounjaro, and with probably the others, you go up in the dosage. You generally start at 2.5 milligrams of Mounjaro. Then you go up to 5. It wasn't until I went to 5 that I started experiencing some of the potential drawbacks. But it doesn't sound like they were the same as Nick was going through. No stomach aches. Nothing along those lines. Not really.
What did you experience?
Gastric discomfort. One of the things Mounjaro does, and probably the others, is to take less time for your stomach to completely empty. So food might be in there for a little bit longer. And if you burp, it might not taste very good. It might taste like hard-boiled eggs. Sulfur burps, I believe, is what they call them.
So one of my takeaways from our discussions with the doctor about these different drugs is that I may not be a candidate. I've always wanted to lose the last 10 or 15 pounds, but he said, based on my health, I probably should try losing my weight through other avenues. The other thing that really stood out to me is the cost. It's like $900+ a month. And there's no guarantee once I go off of it, if I chose to do it just for weight loss, Simone, that I'm going to be able to keep the weight off. What do you pay for Mounjaro? And are you concerned that if you go off of it, you'll regain the weight?
Thankfully, I have insurance and I pay $150 a month. But you're right. Some people are paying $500 a month, $900 a month. Am I afraid? Yes, because I can already sense that the benefits begin to lessen. There are things I think you can do to work around that. For me, I've had to just sit and actually listen to my body. And it will tell me, more so with this drug, you are not hungry and you are full. Those two things is so much different with the drug. So yes, I am concerned about regain. And I am hopeful that new habits will just overtake that. I don't know, though. Do we take it for the rest of our lives? I'm not quite sure about that.
What's your calorie intake? Because when we listened to Nick, he had an extremely restrictive diet. He was down to 900 calories. I thought, well, you could lose weight no matter what if you were on a 900-calorie diet.
My caloric intake is probably anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 calories a day.
Would you feel comfortable sharing with us how much weight you've lost and how you feel?
Sure. I've lost about 30 pounds, and that's since April. Anyone thinking that it is some kind of magic isn't thinking about it correctly. And the reason I say that is that April, now it's September, and to me that seems like very reasonable weight loss. Anyone that has tried to lose weight at all knows that it can take a while, unless you've had a surgery or some other thing that's impacting. So I'm happy with that amount of weight loss. It's, to me, that feels real. It feels permanent.
Yeah, that's a pound and a half a week. That is certainly within the parameters that we've typically learned, you know, a couple pounds a week. What's your energy level like?
It's good. It's good. There is a concern about fatigue, I think. And Dave, all I can say is what I know about medications just in general is that it's going to affect Debbie differently than me and you differently than me. And I know that there are studies with Mounjaro and the others that can offer some kind of a baseline for what we can expect to happen, but it's still going to be different.
When you start seeing results, sometimes that can be a motivator. Do you think you'll stick with some of these habits you've been quote unquote forced into?
I do, Dave, and I hope so. I hope that I am. One piece of advice I got about Mounjaro was to eat more protein. And I have found that that is very helpful for me. It takes the body a little bit longer to digest. It helps you feel a little more full and fuller longer. So that's definitely something that I will take with me. And the consumption of more water.
What about snacking? Do you feel the urge to snack during the day? Because I have such an urge to snack at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I do feel that. But Debbie, I know that for myself personally, there's always something else behind that. It's boredom. It's sadness. It's I don't want to do this next task. There are so many other reasons why we snack.
Does Mounjaro help you control the urge to snack?
It does, yeah. It does lessen the feeling of hunger throughout the day.
Are you glad you made the decision to go on it?
I am. I felt it's a life changer for several reasons. And the biggest one is probably that I can have this control. Is it medically induced? Perhaps, but maybe I can learn from it.
Hey, thanks for joining us for Dieting by Design. I'm Dave Noriega.
And I'm Debbie Dujanovic. Join us Monday through Thursdays on KSL News Radio from 9 to noon for the Dave and Dujanovic Show.